Morning.
Morning.
It is a beautiful day. God has blessed us to see this Sunday. And we are preparing this coming week for Thanksgiving. A day to give thanks to God, but we should be giving thanks all the time to God for everything that He does. Amen. God is really, truly blessing our lives.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. It's pretty common to notice vastly different lifestyles that are lived between individuals. One person may seem to have it all together, and another person may seem to always have their life on the brink of falling apart. There are those, however, who are emotionally stressed, you know, have very emotionally stressful lives, and while some other people have lives that are very peaceful. This morning, we continue to look through the book of James, where he makes a contrast between two types of wisdom that are evidenced by two ways of living. Please read with me in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And it reads, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have a bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." I'd like to use as the subject of my message this morning, true wisdom from above. Now, James starts this chapter off talking about teaching and the way we speak. And here at the end of the chapter, he starts to address the way we live. He already spoke in the first chapter, verse 5, saying that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. Psalms 111, verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endure forever. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom; from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding." Proverbs 4:7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing; therefore, get wisdom, and in all your giving, get understanding." Mm-hmm. So it is abundantly clear that God wants us to be wise. Yeah. However, there is a wisdom that does not come from God. Mm-hmm. Worldly wisdom can be seen just as clearly as the fruits of the Spirit reveal the wisdom, godly wisdom. James effectively shows how the wisdom we have can be seen in our actions. And it's not something that you really have to work hard at showing. Scripture makes it very clear that just as the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart, so also does your actions reveal your understanding. I saw a post on Facebook that said, "Watch out for people who are always bragging about who they are. A lion will never have to tell you it's a lion." When you are living a life that God desires, you don't have to go around telling everybody about it.
Amen.
Because it will be evident in the way you carry yourself and in the words that you say. When tough situations come about in your life, are you one who is constantly panicking, or are you at peace? How do you respond when temptation begins to creep your way? Do you cave in and surrender, or do you stand strong in the Word of God like Jesus did? How do you interact with other people? Are you harsh and abrasive with others, or do you put the interest of others ahead of your own? A true child of God should be involved in encouraging others, building them up, inspiring them to grow spiritually and live lives that are pleasing to God. He said, who is wise and understanding among you? Are your actions and manner of speech truly and consistently filtered by your faith and the Word of God?
Amen.
Wisdom is not just seen in what you know. It is seen by what you do with what you know. He said, let good works be done in the meekness of wisdom. That denotes gentleness, not strife. The wisdom that comes from God isn't going to be self-seeking. It's going to be quiet, long-suffering, and resigned. But that's not what the world teaches. The world teaches you to take care of number one. I saw a motivational quote that said that the only thing that matters in life is your opinion about yourself. Whereas the Bible would have you believe that the only thing that matters is God's opinion about you.
Amen.
In verse 14, he speaks about envy and self-seeking, or in the King James Version, it says strife. The Greek word there for strife or self-seeking is erethia, which is used for those who electioneer for office, courting popular applause by trickery and low arts, defined as a desire to put oneself forward, a partisan and factious spirit. He said, bitter envy and self-seeking. That's somebody who is always contentious and generally hard to get along with. This is the kind of person who only cares about what's important to them. Nobody else comes into the equation. And there are some people who are very proud of this fact. They will carry themselves in this manner. They say, I'm not here to make friends. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to take care of me. That's why he says, do not boast and lie against the truth. Amen. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with a person taking care of themselves. There's nothing wrong with making sure that your needs are met. But you got to keep in mind, we are not in this world alone. Anybody who has achieved anything worthwhile in this world has had help in getting there. Even Jesus. He is truly awesome. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is the author and finisher of our faith. But he ascended into heaven 2,000 years ago. Christianity did not make it this far because Jesus is still here in this world trying to convert people individually. No. With the hope of the Holy Spirit, God is continuing to work through countless numbers of us who put our faith in God. And it is us who continue to bring forth his message to this world.
Amen.
Jesus himself was meek and lowly and taught that we should be meek. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That word there, the word there in Greek used for gentle actually is defined as gentle, mild, or meek.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul even taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. By the example of Jesus, we can see that a person who is meek is not someone who is weak, but someone who submits themselves to helping and serving others in obedience to God.
Amen.
Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, Paul talks about the wisdom of this world. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Slowly but surely, this world is becoming increasingly disenfranchised with living a life that is pleasing to God. And because it seems that everything about God and his word seems to fly in the face of everything that the world has been taught to believe. Because the wisdom of this world, these people think only about living in the moment. Little if any thought is given to what comes after this world. According to James, the foolishness of the world, of the world's wisdom, is caught up in selfish ambition and envy. The kind of person who doesn't care who they have to step on to get what they want. The kind of people that they are accustomed to seeing this, in the first century, the people that they were accustomed to seeing this in were the politicians. The ones who had no qualms about lying and manipulating people just to get into power. It's funny how some things never seem to change. He says in verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That word sensual isn't a reference to anything sexual. It's more of a reference to the senses. Basically, it's the same way animals act, focusing only on their appetite and passion. You ever notice how the people in this world focus primarily on pleasing the flesh? That the majority of their thoughts are wrapped up in the things of this world. Yes, we were born into this world, into this body, into these bodies, but what many people fail to realize is that the body cannot function without the spirit.
Amen.
One day, this world and everything in it will be consumed. The Bible says that we will be given new bodies that will see us through eternity. So why put all your focus on this world?
Amen.
And besides that, the last thing he said in that verse is that the wisdom of this world is demonic. That means it is inspired by demons.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see the effects of that influence all the time. Mm-hmm. Our money says in God we trust, but they remove any mention of God's word in schools. Yet at the same time, they want to teach about evolution, and now they're starting to educate kids about the LGBT community. A large percentage of scientists in our society abandon a belief in God because, in their opinion, he doesn't fit into their parameters of scientific process.
Mm-hmm.
And just look at what TV and the majority of media these days has done to a lot of people. Most of it encourages people to do just what makes them happy, with no consideration about God or their spiritual lives. If you have ever seen the movie The Devil's Advocate, that Al Pacino played in, it's crazy how seemingly accurate that movie seems to be in a lot of ways. But he has this one line that pretty much says it all. He said, Al Pacino's character says, vanity, he plays the devil. He says, vanity is definitely my favorite sin. Kevin, who is Keanu Reeves' character, he says, it's so basic. Self-love, the all-natural opiate. He said, you know it's not that you didn't care for Marianne, which was Keanu Reeves' wife. He says, it's just that you were a little bit more involved with someone else, yourself.
Mm.
And see, and that's the true satanic and demonic influence on this world.
Mm-hmm.
The wisdom of this world takes people's attention off of God and puts it on, as one preacher said, the false trinity of me, myself, and I.
Mm.
See, that this world just pushes us to make ourselves more important than anything else in this world. See, it's kind of hard to deny what you want. And so most people just go after that full force, without any consideration in a lot of cases for anything else. James chapter 3, verse 16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The foolish wisdom of this world can only end in chaos."
Amen.
Wisdom, when everybody is only looking out for themselves and their own best interests, there is nothing but confusion. It's interesting that with this whole LGBT transgender movement, they want you to respect their way of life, but they don't always respect the fact that people don't believe, don't agree with their lifestyle. And yet, you know, I understand that most of them are just trying to fight against discrimination and hatred, but it seems that many of them are willing to go to that exact same extreme in their efforts to fight against those who are discriminating against them. And don't get me wrong, this isn't really about a gay or trans issue. It's about the fact that the world has led many to believe that what you want is more important than anything or anybody else. And when everybody only cares about themselves, that leads to everything being out of control.
Amen.
James chapter 3, verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." James says that God's wisdom is pure. It is not tainted by self-interest. It doesn't put all its focus on temporary things of this world that really don't matter. It doesn't produce chaos. It produces peace. God's wisdom, when put into action, leads to all people living in harmony. And there is one day where we will all live together in harmony. Isaiah even talks about a day when the animal kingdom will dwell in harmony. He says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them." He says also in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord." Can you imagine a day when a lion, an apex predator, goes around and just sitting down with the same animals that he preyed on? I mean, this is the kind of world that God wants for all of us. Where we're not always kind of fighting together. That we're living together in peace. That's what he wants. God's focus is for all his creations to dwell together in peace, not be corrupted by the sinful nature of this world.
Amen.
James says that it is gentle, willing to yield, full of good fruits. Can you say the same thing about the foolish wisdom of this world? When we live according to God's word, we can be honest and sincere and free from hypocrisy. Nobody's showing partiality because everybody is looking to lift up the other person. And so, and instead of only focusing on what's important to ourselves, we all reach new heights because we are working together. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4 says, "Nothing, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others." James chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Now the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." What kind of seeds are you sowing? What are the results or the consequences of the wisdom that you have adopted? Is righteousness and peace being cultivated in your life? Or have you decided to go the way of the world? See, I'm not here to tell you that that how you should live. I'm here to tell you that the wisdom of this world will end when Jesus returns. I'm here to tell you that the only ones who will thrive and endure for eternity are the ones who embraced and live by the true wisdom from above. This morning, you can be assured that your life will end in a peace that passes all understanding. A time where your enemies will no longer be your enemies. A time where you can spend time with God and know that you are enjoying every day of life. No more sadness, no more depression, no more living according to the broken ways of this world. This morning, let God be the one to influence your way of life.
Amen.
There are those that need help, who need prayer for anything, then let it be known after we stand together and sing the invitational song.
When we walk with the Lord.